Welcome to show number 34 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by SportsCardRadio.com. What is up, everybody? Hopefully everybody is doing well out there. Another edition of the Sports Card Show on SportsCardRadio.com. Don't forget, you can always send us an email at SportsCardShow@gmail.com. And you can visit our website, www.SportsCardRadio.com. And don't forget to sign up for the fan forum while you're there. We've got a lot to talk about. It's very nice to be back. Finally have these computers fixed up and running, and it's like Christmas. It's like my birthday. It's like being reborn. It's all those things wrapped into one. It's a beautiful day, beautiful thing happening here in California. So I'm glad to be back on the air, and we'll be running out these shows probably with abundance here, at least in the next week or so. Want to try to do these every week. And I forgot to mention this on our last show. We've actually been doing this for a year now. I think it was July 5th or 7th, or I don't know. Obviously, it's not that important of an anniversary, but we've been doing these for about a year now. And I did, I don't know, about 32 shows, 33 shows in a year. That's obviously not one a week. There's 52 weeks in a year, so slightly above, you know, once every 2 weeks or so. So that's pretty good. We'll try to balance that out this year. We'll try to do about 50, 52 shows, 55 shows, somewhere in that range. So we won't even be at show number 100 by this time next year. But we'll see if lots of sports news happen, or if I still don't have a job, which I still don't, or if things like that don't happen to work out, maybe we'll do more of these. So we'll see what happens, but lots of stuff on today's show. Not necessarily a true topic. We're going to be running down lots of product information. Going to talk a little bit about just general sports news and things like that. But very important, our website, we were contacted by a really cool website that we're going to partner with them, and we're going to cover some of the things that are on their website and talk about them on the show. So if you're a fan of what's going on the show, you're going to be able to go to cardinformant.com, CardinForMant, cardinformant.com. So whatever you hear on the show, especially in the first rundown, the first news, anything like that, we're going to be covering whatever they have on their site. We'll be, you know, going over it maybe a little more in depth. They're just kind of briefly going over it, let you know what's going on over there. And if you're a fan of cardinformant.com, obviously anything that's written over there, we're going to be talking a little bit about on the show too. So it's a very cool site. They've got forums, they've got checklists, they've got news, they've got information, sell sheets. They've got this really cool magazine, which is kind of an electronic magazine, very well put together, very cool. You'll definitely want to go over there and check out the magazine. I think it's once a month, and I think they've done two of them so far, and very cool stuff. So they've got a lot of cool stuff. Just briefly, a rundown of what they have. Going back a few weeks, they contacted me a few weeks ago. So going back on July 16th, they posted Allen & Ginter's SP list. So that's pretty cool. If you want to go and see what's going on with the SPs, if you opened up some packs and not really sure if you got anything special, maybe something is on this SP list. So that's pretty cool. There was all kinds of, you know, the later numbered, the higher numbered base cards were all SPs. I found it interesting. You know, I haven't opened up any packs or boxes of this stuff, unfortunately. But there's some pretty cool, like, Invisible Man autograph cards, which have some collectors kind of up in arms a little bit, but some get the joke. It's actually a card with no autograph. It has a space for an autograph, but since it's the Invisible Man, he has trouble signing his name. So no autograph. I think there's Invisible Man jersey cards where it's just like a little open spot for a jersey card. So I found those cards, saw those kind of on the SP list, and there's all kinds of stuff, all kinds of cool stuff. So that was July 16th. You can head over to cardinformant.com, find their old archive news, and you'll be able to see the Allen & Ginter SP list, all the cards that are on there. Very cool if you have some of those cards. They tend to be well collected, because people do like to collect this set. Very important stuff there. About a week later, July 23rd, Topps Magic Football had their SP list. And so they have some autos and some base cards that are included there. So pretty cool stuff. You want to go over there and check that out. I know Topps Magic was a somewhat welcomed product. I think some people had some problems with it, thought it was a little watered down or not as cool as they thought it would be. And others thought it was a solid set and they're looking to, you know, build the set and do things like that. Of course, right now the National Card Convention is going on and Card Informant is there. They're at the center of the action. So they're doing kind of a daily blog, kind of a rundown of what went on the floor of the National Card Convention in, I believe, Cleveland, Ohio. So you want to check that out, cardinformant.com. From here on out, we will be talking about what's going on, basically news-wise and some of the sell sheets and things like that. Anything that goes on there, we'll talk about it here, usually in the first breakdown and maybe some other places. Maybe they'll give me some ideas for topics and things like that, although I don't have one for today. But we've got tons of product and other things to go down. So we'll talk about those. I'm going to break it out right now. If you're listening to us on YouTube, head on over to sportscardradio.com. You should be able to find the newest show up there. If it's not up there, click the iTunes link, or there's a Podbean link, or there's all kind of, you go to Podcast Alley. There's all kinds of ways. Our RSS feed is up there, which will have the most instant information, since sometimes I'm a little lazy, as everybody knows, getting those shows up. But we'll have that up on our website. If you want to listen to the rest of the show, we'll have at least 20, 30 minutes to go. So you want to check it out for the rest of you. We'll be back after this. A shorter segment on the news. You guys, I've been watching ESPN. I found a place, maybe I should say this quietly, but I found a place. I don't have cable, as most people know. I do the cheap way, got the antenna ears, and you, actually, this DTV, I don't know if I've said this on the show before, but the rabbit ears, if you're just pulling in the free signal, the picture is absolutely phenomenal. I mean, I would say it's like a half step down from HD. As you know, if you watch sporting events in HD, like say a baseball game, you can make out the faces of the people sitting in the crowd, basically. Any panning shot or any, you know, the regular shot behind the pitcher, you can see the face. If your friend was sitting in the front row, you'd probably be able to tell it was them. You can't necessarily do that with DirecTV or like DTV, digital TV, with just the rabbit ears, but it's close. The faces are not crystal clear like an HD picture, but boy, I tell you, the foreground and the grass and stuff, it's not quite as sharp, but I tell you what, it's pretty close. For free TV, it's pretty cool. So if you're on a tight budget like I am, it makes it work out. I've been able to see some golf, and the Giants are occasionally on a local channel here, 58 or one of those. I don't remember, but it's pretty cool. So I've been watching TV, but I found a place on the internet you could stream SportsCenter. Hopefully they don't hear this and shut it down, but found a place where I can watch SportsCenter. So I've been, you know, kind of watching the NFL. They sometimes switch the NFL network. It's kind of cool, you know, you'd be watching something and the channel will change automatically. So been watching NFL Network and things like that. So as most of you know, camps, training camps for football open up. I mean, I can't be more excited for training camp and for football season. Just, you know, basketball season, obviously, as most people know, again, I'm a Lakers fan, so watching the Lakers go through the whole season and take one down and win another title, that was awesome. For the second year in the row, to see them in the finals and to have them win this year, so that was cool. And the Giants are kind of plugging away. We'll see what happens with them, but They'll be in a fighting. They'll have a fighting chance for sure at a playoff berth. So it's kind of cool. But my favorite season, not necessarily my favorite sport, but football is absolutely so fun to watch and to follow because it's one day a week and it's just up and down. The injuries have a huge, huge impact on things. And the games are crazy, especially Bengal games, because they can't hold on to the ball. But NFL preseason, it's all about the hype, baby. Lots of hype, lots of players doing well that probably won't even see 2 minutes of action in the regular season. Lots of injuries, lots of interesting things going on. So if I'm a seller of cards, if I'm a collector of cards, I'm looking to sell. If you're one of those people that do kind of move your cards every once in a while or, you know, do some trades and things like that, you don't necessarily have to sell your cards, but there's also trading on, you can trade on our forums, but there's lots of other forums with very sophisticated systems set up, so you can trade and feel somewhat confident that you're going to get what you're trading for. You might want to use some of these guys that are getting hyped up for trade bait and things because, you know, I always see it every year. Somebody does well either in a preseason game or they get some love because they're going to be a starter this year, things like that, and then things just don't work out during the season because, you know, most of the time, what you got to remember is when these guys blow it up in the preseason, chances are they blew it up against nobody that's going to be playing a game during the regular season because 90% of the guys that get the majority of the playing time in these preseason games are not even going to play on the team. You know, most of these guys, of 11 guys out there in the second, third, and fourth quarter, I would guess 9 of them aren't going to make the team. So you might have 2 starters or 2 guys that are actually going to make the team out there. Lots of guys are getting cut off those teams. So you want to keep that in mind. So if a guy has a big, you know, 150-yard rushing day in the second, third, and fourth quarter of a preseason game, and his cards start blowing up, chances are it's a great time to sell because this guy just did it against the guys that are going to be watching all the games at home like you and I. So keep that in mind. Obviously, you get a look at some of these quarterbacks and some of these star players in the first quarter, and you know, they're just knocking off the rust or just going through the motions while they're out there. So we'll see how much the preseason plays into that. But one thing I've noticed is, you know, everybody blames in the NFL, they blame these wide receivers for being these prima donnas and these guys that always want all the attention. And for the most part, it's probably true. You got Chad Johnson and T.O. and there's more of them. I mean, there's a lot of guys. But to me, it's the quarterback. In the NFL, there's no more of a me position and a, like, get the attention on me more than the quarterback. I mean, they already are always have the ball in their hands every play. But it seems like they're attention go-getters, you know? Guys like Brett Favre. I think this guy just loves the attention on him. So I know everybody loves Brett Favre, blah, blah, blah. This guy loves attention more than, you know, a 16-year-old girl. So I found that he's getting a lot of attention right now. Tom Brady's getting a lot of attention. Maybe somewhat deservingly. Tom Brady's a great player, great quarterback, one of the best of all time already, one of the best quarterbacks of all time. He's won 3 Super Bowls, I believe, and gone to 4 in a fairly, he's only been since 2001, I think, so yeah, fantastic player. Love Tom Brady. He's getting a lot of attention on him. Big Ben is getting a lot of attention for him. He won the Super Bowl last year. He's on one of the most popular teams. But he had some off the field. We'll see. We'll kind of brush over it like ESPN's been doing it until maybe there's some more news about it. So Big Ben's having some problems. And Michael Vick, everybody's favorite quarterback coming out of his personal issue. I mean, talk about a 180. Here's Big Ben committing a allegedly committing a serious crime. He's out on the field. Nobody cares. Nobody even reports about it. Here's Michael Vick. He spent 2 years in jail. He served his time. I'm not saying that dogfighting's not a serious thing. I think that's horrible. I mean, dogs are really nice animals, and you know, I mean, they can be cruel. Definitely, there's some pit bulls that can be cruel and be mean. But there's no need to breed them just so they can fight. They are pets, and they have as much right to be here as anybody else. But Michael Vick has served his time. This guy's done 2 years in jail or a year in jail. I don't remember. But it was a long time in jail. So all is forgiven in my book. We'll see if he signs with a team. Who knows. But that's about it for news. Lamar Odom signs with the Lakers again, so that was cool. Ron Artest, I don't think we talked about that. Obviously, I'm only covering my teams. But Ben Gordon and Charlie Villanueva both signed with the Pistons. That's a very interesting move there. Those two guys can absolutely fill it up. I mean, talk about two guys that are just jackaholics in terms of shots. I mean, pretty cool stuff there. I really like that move for the Pistons. Shaq obviously signing with Cleveland. Not necessarily a great sign, but Shaq is probably best fit in a team like Cleveland or a team like San Antonio that plays a half-court game. Even though LeBron gets it up and down the court every once in a while, it's kind of a one-man show when LeBron gets on a fast break. It's kind of a one-man thing. Cleveland does play a lot of half-court offense, kind of sets it up, gets LeBron on the elbow, and runs a play. They don't run a lot of good plays, but that's another time, another story. They're successful. Their coach has been successful. So who's a silly little podcaster to complain? But I do believe Cleveland should have made it to the finals last year, and they didn't, and that's because of their offensive play calling. But that's all for another time, another day. When we come back after this very short break, we will be running down the products that are coming out this week or last week, some things to keep an eye on, some interesting things going on. We'll talk about them after this. Down some of the products, some of the stuff that you spend your hard-earned money on. Very cool, some interesting products. Remember, you can head on over to cardinformant.com to find some of the sell sheets on this and do some of those things. So be sure to do that. Some of the products coming down the pipeline this week: Razor U.S. Army High School All-American set. This is not a box, it's actually a set. And I should have put the emphasis, if you didn't hear it, high school All-American. So these are high school football players here. Very interesting if you're like the ultimate prospector, the ultimate speculator. This is definitely the set for you. You've got 56 2008-2009 high school phenoms. You've got 40 U.S. Army All-American bowl players. Each set will have, each factory sealed set will have one autograph or memorabilia card. So, and I do believe I've heard an interview with Brian over at Razor, and some of these autographs are going to be high school kids. So it's going to be very, very, very interesting to see the market on this. Only 240 cases. I didn't have the information in front of me. I didn't know if that's more than likely not 240 boxes, individual boxes. It's 240 cases. I don't know how many sets come in each case, whether it's 12 or 24 or 10 or something like that. So, but still, not a tremendous amount of this being produced. Interesting. This is one of those sets. It's, you know, probably going to be in the $30 to $50 to $40 range, somewhere in that ballpark. And it might hover there for a while. Might hover, might not go up much, might not go down a bunch. But it's something that if you had somebody blow it up in college, say a year later or 2 years later, 3 years later, or get to the pros and do something there, be interesting to see what happens to those cards, especially if there's an autograph in there. Obviously, even though these are All-American, like best of the best high school athletes, chances are it's tough to make it to the NFL. Chances are none of these players are going to make it to the NFL. Maybe they'll make it to the NFL, but they won't be anything special. So to have a Tom Brady or like a Michael Vick or a popular player come out of this, hopefully they don't do the kind of things Michael Vick does, but hopefully they do what Tom Brady does, and that's win Super Bowls and date beautiful women. But we'll see what happens down the line when some of these players make a name for themselves, if they make a name for themselves. We'll see what happens to these. Will it be a $30 to $40 set? Could be that one autograph is worth $30 to $40. So might not be a bad pickup. I would probably leave it sealed unless there's redemptions, but I don't think there are. I would lean to leaving it sealed and maybe selling the whole thing down the road. That's probably what I would do. I don't think I'm going to do it, but U.S. Army High School All-American set. Very interesting product from Razor. UD Draft Edition Basketball. This just went live. 16 packs, 10 cards per pack. There's 100 rookie cards. Remember, Panini has the exclusive rights to make basketball cards, but as we all know, with the rookie card logo in baseball and all those kind of things, there are ways to get around it. It's like loopholes in government and in laws. There's always a loophole or something that these basketball card or these card manufacturers can kind of jump through. And UD Draft Edition Basketball is one of those things. They picture all these guys in their college uniforms. I mean, there's probably pro uniforms already. They've done summer league and things like that. And I'm sure they've gotten photo ops with Blake Griffin and Rubio and Stephen Curry and guys like that. But and you probably get on eBay and buy these guys' jerseys. But you can picture them in their college uniforms. It's not an NBA lie. As long as you don't have any of the NBA names and anything like that, as we've seen with Prime Cuts Baseball, or at least allegedly, or they tried to blur out some of the... They left the guys in their MLB uniform. They take Photoshop and, you know, snuff out the logos, although they didn't do a very good job of it. So I don't think that's what UD Draft Edition Basketball is all about. They are going to be putting these guys in their college uniforms. I believe Michael Jordan also makes it in this set, and Tiger Woods. So two of UD's most highly paid athletes make it into the set. There's four numbered autographs per box. So 16 packs and 10 cards per pack. 16 packs, if there's four autos, that's a 1 in 4 chance. If my math isn't failing me, that's not too bad. You know, if you're into busting packs, it's going to be about, especially to start off with, 75 to 80 a box. Might go up, might go down. There are 100 rookies. We'll see how many signatures. I didn't get the signature checklist or anything like that. So I'm not sure how watered. I'm sure that's fairly watered down with a lot of players. But not too bad of a value. Pretty cool stuff. So we'll see what happens here. But it's Upper Deck's attempt at kind of getting into staying in the basketball market, I should say. And they still have Michael Jordan, it looks like, and obviously they have old Eldrick Woods. So we'll see what happens there. They're in that set. There's all kinds of stuff. Keep an eye on that. Some of the early cards. Interesting set. If Upper Deck only puts out maybe less than 5 or 6 sets this year, might end up being a very, very interesting set. So the only thing I'm disappointed, I know we've gone over this already on another show, but only thing I'm upset about is Upper Deck had lots of products, and a lot of them were kind of hit and miss. But they did have some really good basketball products that really kind of set standards in basketball cards. Upper Deck Exquisite, Upper Deck SP Authentic Basketball, and although I think they took a hiatus, SP Game Used Basketball I thought was a really fine set. Those were cool sets, and it's going to be, we'll see if they manage to put together an Exquisite some other way, my guess is they probably won't, but we'll see. Pretty cool stuff coming out. So Upper Deck Draft Edition Basketball, something you want to keep an eye on. Just Miners Jersey, another extremely interesting set. If you can find this, either on eBay, if you go to sportscardradio.com, we've got the links to all these boxes that come out right on the homepage, so you don't even have to click on another page. sportscardradio.com. do us a favor, help us out, go to the homepage. You'll see all these boxes there. Even if you just want to check the prices or see what action is on eBay, you can just go there and see. It's very easy. Just Minors jersey, baseball. Interesting stuff here. You get one autographed jersey. And we ain't talking about a card with a cutout of a 2-inch jersey. We're talking about the whole jersey. It's a complete jersey. One you could wear. If it was a horrible autograph, you could probably scrub it out with some nail polish remover and wear it. But you get one autographed jersey per box, and you got two other random 2007 auto cards. These are cards that probably were overprinted or whatever. They just have laying around, so they throw them in there. And there are rumors this might be just last product. It's hard to say their company name, but Just makes Justifiable and some of those other minor league products could be their last product. Because of Razor, I'm speculating here, but I think because of Razor and TriStar kind of stomping on their ground a little bit with some of these prospect baseball stuff, they might be squished out of the market. But that's all speculation. Back to Just Minors baseball, again, you get one whole jersey, and one in 60 boxes will be an actual game-used jersey. So you'll get the whole jersey off the dude's back. And this is all goes for about $100 a box. The jersey alone, I don't know where they got $100 a box. Even wholesale prices on some of these jerseys probably in the $30 range, although they probably bought a lot of them. They probably got a fantastic deal on them. But pretty interesting there. You get a whole freaking jersey autographed by a minor league baseball player, but there's also some real big names in here, Josh Hamilton, among others. So interesting set. Don't think I'll be forking over a century spot for it, but interesting product. We'll see how that works on eBay and things like that. We'll see what happens there. Last box, very cool, expensive stuff. Sports Kings Series. I have Series 3, but I think it's called Series C. I could be totally wrong, but I think it's called Series C, but it could be Series 3. I don't know. One pack, 9 cards. I have it written down here wrong. Obviously, you go to Sports Card Radio and figure it all out. Considering I'm not very reliable, considering I designed that website, that might not be very reliable either, but that's a whole other story. Sports Kings Series 3 or C, who knows? We'll just go over it one last time. One pack, 9 cards per pack. You get 2 on-card autographs, 1 jersey or cut signature, and some other cards. Obviously, the hits there are going to be the on-card autographs. Every card, I believe, in this set is on-card. Hard sign. That's the new name for on-card. Sports Cards is always notorious for coming out with all these, like, auto and, like, RC. I mean, RC, that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. But auto, that's, you know, the name of what you got in your driveway. But hard signed is the new term for on-card autographs. For some reason, people didn't like on-card. I think hard sign kind of covers them on cut signature cards or, like, window autographs. I think those are still considered on-card or hard signed, because they're signed on something other than a sticker. So basically, hard side means non-sticker, at least as far as I know. We'll see. I'm sure they'll come up with something else. But pretty cool stuff. $275 a box. Obviously, the gambler's dream here. Lots and lots and lots and lots of stuff in this. Lots of Pete Rose and Larry Bird. All kinds of stuff. Lots of weird stuff. Presidents and just all kinds of stuff in this. So it's interesting stuff. I think the cards are an interesting size. I don't know if they still do the old Sports Kings dimensions or not. I don't have $275 to spare, so I wouldn't know. But interesting product, interesting stuff. If you got $275, send me some scans. Send me what you got. It'd be kind of interesting to see what you pulled. But after this, that about wraps it up. Remember, you can head on over to cardinformant.com. to find out more information on all those products. You can also head on over to sportscardradio.com. It's our 1-year anniversary. Not really for the website. I think I started that in maybe January. I don't remember when I started that, but it hasn't been quite a year with that. But head on over there, because on the front page, you will be able to see all the boxes that are released this month, or at least I hope it's all of them. And you'll be able to quickly check the prices. You know, if you're going to go to your hobby store and buy it there, or you maybe have a different online retailer that you trust, at least get, you know, check out the price on eBay. I mean, you can do it real quickly from our homepage. So do that in the meantime. As we come back from this very short break, we'll be talking about lots of athletes. Number 34, it's like number 32, it's like number 23, very popular number, 34 for some reason, very popular. Some legends of the game: Walter Payton, Shaquille O'Neal, Charles Barkley, among others, wore number 34, and we'll be talking about all them after the
slow dancing with a bleach blonde tramp, and she's probably getting thirsty right now. He's probably buying her some fruity little drink, 'cause she can't shoot whiskey right now. He's probably up behind her with a blue stick, showing her how to shoot a combo, and he don't know.
Talking a little bit about some of the players that wore number 34. It's show number 34. We got lots of players that wore number 34. First one comes from our fan forum from the Cornwall family. This is actually a family that it's a father and I believe two sons. So I get a whole family wrapped into one. It's pretty neat. They suggested Walter Payton. Obviously one of the all-time. I actually saw just the other day on the NFL Network, I think it was 1985 or 86, they won the Super Bowl, and obviously Walter Payton was a big part of that. And he has obviously tons of great cards. He passed away far too soon, much sooner than most people, of such good health and such a nice man. Didn't know him too much. Obviously, he died young. I was still a teenager, I believe. But Walter Payton, a great player. You can have his rookies, 1976 tops. You can get one in fairly decent, not obviously, you know, ridden through the bike spokes, but near mint, mintish, $100 plus. Obviously, it goes up from there. I saw a BGS or a BVG 10 on there. That was, the guy wanted like $100,000 for it. So obviously, it goes up the better condition that you have in these. And this is a card, if you do have in your collection and you think is in fine condition, is definitely worth grading. Very, very solid collectible, year after year. Walter Payton stuff doesn't go down very much. Another interesting investment with Walter Payton, aside from his rookies, is autographs. Obviously, we said he passed away before the big autograph boom and all those kind of things happened in football cards and baseball cards in general. So he doesn't have a lot of stuff out there. It's not like some of these other players, like we'll talk about Nolan Ryan here in a little bit, who has signed tremendously, which is great for collectors, but he's signed tremendous amounts and has been in numerous sets since the mid-90s. So Walter Payton kind of passed away a little bit before that, so his autographs are fairly expensive. In the low end, you're looking at $120, $125. That's a super low end. And you obviously goes way up from there. Some of his certified autographs from these card companies and Donruss and Upper Deck and things like that are hundreds and hundreds of dollars. So just be careful with Walter Payton stuff. He obviously has passed away for a while, and you want to be careful with what you buy of him, because there's lots of forgeries and things like that. So make sure you buy it from a trusted source. Not any COA. I mean, most of these COAs you see on eBay are printed off Microsoft Word. So make sure you buy from a trusted source. And even then, you got to be careful. We've seen plenty of stories. We don't cover them too much on this program, only because they're far too frequent. But there are cases where
cut signatures and some of these signatures in these legitimate Upper Deck tops and all these Razor. Everybody's had problems with this, with the autographs not necessarily being legitimate, or there's some questions about them being legitimate. So just know that with Walter Payton, obviously you're not going to get face-to-face with this guy anymore until we pass away. Maybe we'll get one in heaven with this guy. But we'll see. Be careful with his autographs. If you want to buy one, be real careful. Make sure you check out the COA. There's some legitimate ones, and there's obviously tons of non-legitimate Walter Payton autographs floating around out there. So be careful what you buy. Obviously, the cheaper the price, I believe, the more likely it is to be fake, because you're not going to sell a dead guy. No offense, Walter, but you're not going to sell a dead guy's autograph for $100. Because it's not, that card's not going down, that signature's not going down. So that's Walter. Be careful buying his rookies. There are counterfeit versions. Be careful buying his autographs, but still nice cards to have. Shaquille O'Neal, one of my favorite athletes, favorite player. I love Shaq. Shaq's great. Shaq's, when I was a kid, he was bigger than Michael Jordan for a year or two. Yep, Michael Jordan literally, I mean, people probably argue me with this, but Michael Jordan took a backseat to Shaq. He was huge. He was in movies. He was in every commercial. He was doing all kinds of stuff. The basketball card world loved him. I mean, that's when cards were, you know, there were hundreds and thousands of these cards, and they were worth hundreds of dollars. You could buy a $1.50 pack and pull a Shaq card, and it's worth like $100. I mean, that led to the extreme boom. Shaq was like right there, right 92, 93-ish, and maybe a year after, 2 years after, was like at the height of the sports card 90s boom, when every card was going up. It didn't matter who it was, how many were printed, what the heck was on it. Shaq was kind of a big reason because of that. So you could blame Shaq, but you could also thank Shaq. If you sold cards and worked at a card shop, I guess he worked at a card shop back then, I was young, but I guess I was only... I don't know. I guess I was only like 13, 14 years old. But Shaq was a big reason for that. So he has lots of rookies. Lots of his rookies under $10. His best one's probably the Upper Deck version. There was like a redemption card, and it was all kind of funky with how it worked. But Shaq's rookies, most of them you can have for under $10. And, you know, if you're spending that amount and you've got a little extra, you might as well buy a graded one. BGS 9, PSA 9, something like that. Might not be a bad hit for, you know, 15 to 20. You're probably only paying the grading fee to upgrade to a guaranteed grade. Especially the Upper Deck one. It's like a completely black card. It's real easy to chip off, especially after 10, 15 years, however long it's been. Actually, it's been close to, I guess, 17 years, amazingly enough. So you want to maybe splurge for a graded one. But some of the Skybox one and the Fleer Ultra, those tend to be in fairly good shape, so you don't necessarily have to spring for the graded one. His autographs are fairly affordable. You know, Shaq's kind of one of those guys, one of the greatest, probably definitely in the top 10 greatest players of all time, and you could probably make an argument for him to being in the maybe the top 5 to 7 greatest players of all time. He's obviously signed a little bit. He's not super, super free with the pen, but he does sign quite a bit. I know he had a deal with Topps there for a while. He might still have that deal. But most of his autographs, some of his lower-end ones, some of his sticker stuff, you know, $50, $60, sometimes a little bit less than that. Obviously, it goes way up from there. You get some of his on-card or with his Laker days or whatever, paired with Kobe. That'd be a cool autograph. Or D-Wade or... Now I guess it's LeBron and Shaq. Upper Deck's going to love that. If they can get Shaq autographs, they're going to love pairing those two together. So that's an interesting buy. Not too bad. We'll see what happens with Shaq. Shaq had a great year last year. I had him on my fantasy team. He was a playable center. I mean, when he played, I know he took like sometimes days off on back-to-back games and things like that, but Shaq's great. You know, Shaq's a great player, still playing well after all these years. I mean, he's such a big guy. We've seen how Yao Ming's deteriorated, and some of these other taller players, bigger guys, have kind of deteriorated. Shaq has held together fairly well. He's missed some time, but he's held together pretty well. Still a great player, still plays, you know, fairly solid D, and can put the ball in the basket. Still one of the toughest players in the NBA to guard. Even though he still doesn't make his free throws, good player. Autographs under $50 or around $50, a definite buy, because Shaq's one of those underappreciated players. If he wasn't on your team, if you weren't a Lakers fan or a Magic fan back in the day, or a Miami Heat fan or a Phoenix Suns fan briefly, although I don't know how much you enjoyed Shaq's time there, or if you aren't a Cleveland Cavaliers fan, we'll see how he turns out there. But if you aren't a fan of one of those teams, you hate Shaq. More than likely, you hate Shaq. You think he's, you know, just... I remember back in the... This is the early 2000s when he was on the Lakers and the Kings were doing well. Obviously, being in the Central Valley, there are tons of Laker fans here. But chances are, if you're not a Lakers fan, you're either a Warriors fan, or back then, there were tons of bandwagon Kings fan. You know, I remember, just to go slightly off topic, everybody was saying back in those days, oh, Kings have the best fans in the league, blah, blah, blah. Where are those fans now? The Kings, I think, sold out a handful of times last year, and it was the Laker games that sold out. And I believe Chris Webber retirement jersey day sold out. And those are the only games that sold out. So how good are your fans when you're losing and they don't show up? Great fans, to me, are Green Bay Packer fans, Pittsburgh Steeler fans, Dallas Cowboy fans, and Los Angeles Laker fans, I think, are yet underrated. We show up late, we leave early, but there are no more. There are lots of bandwagon Laker fans, but trust me, if you're a Laker fan for life, you remember Anthony Peeler, George Lynch, Cedric Ceballos, Vlade Divac. You remember all those players as much as you remember Kobe, Shaq, Derek Fisher, Lamar Odom, and all the other great ones that they had. So that's just a side note. You know, it's just it's difficult with Shaq because he's so hated or loved. So it kind of dilutes his prices. But when he retires and when he's done with, I think a lot of people, he's one of those players that everybody will look back on and be like, man, he was really good. He was so good. There's nobody like Shaq. I mean, I would bet a lot of money there's not going to be a player in the NBA that's going to be as dominant or as big and as much of a presence as Shaq was. So $50 autographs, probably not a bad idea. Although, we'll see with Shaq going forward. He's made lots and lots of money. This guy is filthy rich. So we'll see if he continues to sign down the road for these companies. I guess it's Panini now. But we'll see if he is as free with the pen as he has been. Interesting segue into Charles Barkley, who just a quick search on eBay doesn't sign very much. This guy signed in the late 90s when he played, and these were the first versions of the autograph, Fleer Autographics, a great set, was undercollected and has seen historic rise, especially the last 2 to 3 years. Autographic cards, because they were on card, they were the first autographs to be produced. A historic set, probably one of the top five sets of all time, any sport, any year, ever. The Fleer Autographics cards in the mid to late 90s are some of the premier, most forward-looking sets ever. And great checklists. There's tons of great players on those cards. And Charles Barkley's go for tons and tons of money. His autographic cards, if you can find one for $250, you've found a bargain, and I would buy it, because a lot of them go for a whole lot more than that, $300, $400, $500 on eBay. Some of his, there's an SP one I saw in there, I think it was like $500. Unbelievable. And it's because he really hasn't signed a lot. Do you pull a lot of Charles Barkley autographs? No, you don't. He doesn't sign a lot in the premier new sets these days. So it's kept his prices up. We see a player like Charles Barkley who has had no near the career Shaquille O'Neal has. I mean, not even anywhere. I mean, Charles Barkley, great player, one of the greatest players of all time. But we're talking about Shaq, who's in the top 1% of great players of all time. And his autographs are far, far less because there's more of them out there. So Charles, if you can afford one of his autographs, I don't know. It'd be great if you could afford one of his autographics, but if you can't go that way, maybe you can find him on the golf course in between one of his shanks and whiffs and tops. But if you could find him on the golf course, might be a good place to get him. Charles, not very free with the pen. I don't know why. Maybe it's his attitude, or maybe it's just Charles just probably doesn't like giving away things for free, which I don't blame him. He can do whatever he wants. It's his signature. His rookies, 1986 Fleer. Again, this is the set where everybody, it's kind of a weird set because a lot of these guys had cards before this. Not necessarily Charles Barkley, but Michael Jordan, James Worthy, all these guys had cards before this in the star set. Those tend to be his XR rookies. I think those were like 84, 85, 83, 84. So Charles was in that kind of catch-all rookie set because it was the first like NBA licensed set in quite a while. 86 Flair, you can get one in decent condition in the $25, $30, $40 range. Obviously graded fairly well. It's going to go up from there because you have people that do put together this whole set, a whole PSA 9 set or something like that. So it might not be, you know, a PSA 8, if you're just looking to cover your ground on a Charles Barkley card, just something you want, a PSA 8 would be awesome, you know, be an awesome card. You're not paying a whole lot of money for it, a lot cheaper than his autograph cards, and it's a solid, solid card. Charles keeps his name in the news at this point. It's good and bad, but it's what we expect from Charles. You know, there's a lot of players where, like, if Tom Brady were to go out and get arrested, people would be crushed, or if like Tiger Woods got a DUI or something like that, you know, we'd be crushed. But Charles Barkley, it's kind of like water off the back. Oh, it's Charles being Charles. So he has the luxury of being that kind of player. There's not too many players in that vein, but Charles kind of falls in that vein. He admitted a long time ago in a commercial when I was a little kid, you know, he says, "I'm not a role model," blah, blah, blah. It's a big Nike ad, I think. And he has a point there. He has a great point there. Should we be looking at these athletes as if they're our heroes and they're these great people? They're great people. They're great athletes, but they're just like you and I. Honestly, these athletes are nothing special. They just happen to do something well. I mean, it's just like you. I mean, if you're like an insurance salesman and you live in a town of 100,000, you might be the top insurance salesman, or you might be in the top 3 or 4 insurance salesmen. So yeah, you're like a superstar. Terms of insurance, and if we valued selling insurance like we value guys putting the ball through a tiny basket, you'd be a superstar. Your autograph and your time would be in demand and stuff. So it's just the value we place on people. Should we place that on athletes? It just, you know, they're entertainers, and they're on TV, and they get a lot of coverage. And I think just about anyone, you put the camera in my face or put the camera in your face long enough, we're going to be interesting. People are going to want to look at us, especially if it's produced or put together in an interesting way. I think anybody, John and Kate plus 8, I've never seen the show, but they're on every magazine and CNN everywhere. I mean, I don't even know who these people are, and they're like superstars. I guess you have 8 kids, and that makes you a celebrity. So we'll see if Charles' "I'm not a role model" slogan goes forward, but as we do know, his autographs are worth a ton. His certified autographs are worth a ton. And his rookie card is probably a decent buy on the sub-50 range. So pretty cool stuff. Nolan Ryan. This comes from Cubs fan. 3-point assassins was Charles Barkley. I believe I came up with Shaq being the Lakers fan. Nolan Ryan comes from Cubs fan 129 on the sports card radio forums, fan forum. Nolan Ryan, I believe Nolan Ryan wore a different number. He wore 32 or something else. I don't remember if we covered it. I think I wanted to save him for this. His rookies, gosh, I didn't jot down the year, but it goes way back. He has somebody else on the card. Famous card. If you don't know the card, you can find out fairly easily. 200 plus, maybe you can get it for less than that if it's kind of crushed up a little bit. You could probably find a really beat up one for less than 200. But even if it's like got holes in it, you're still paying some decent money for it. It obviously goes way up from there. Mint copies and things like that are out of this world and are very, very rarely seen because they have been sold and bought and held at this point. But solid investment. Nolan Ryan's one of those guys. He's not going anywhere. He's not going to throw any more strikeouts, but he sure did throw a lot when he did play. So Nolan Ryan, $200 rookie cards. He, unlike Sir Charles, but like Shaq, signs quite a bit. And that's great because he's one of the most recognizable pitchers, one of the most recognizable baseball players of all time. So it's awesome that he's been free with the pen. And he did play in an era where, I don't want to say it's financially motivated, but this guy didn't make hundreds of millions of dollars like the guys are now. I mean, imagine Nolan Ryan's contract if he was in his prime right now. He'd be making $200 million probably. So his autographs can be had for $7,500. Some of his medium range. Even this is still nice cards. I saw one with like a jersey on it go for like $80-something. So not bad, Not bad for Nolan Ryan autograph cards. So that's a solid investment. He, like, you know, just like Joe Montana and some of these other guys that played before the era of the $100 million contract and the $1 million Gatorade endorsement deals and things like that, they're making a lot of money off their signature now, and that's good. I'm glad they're able to do that, and I'm glad that they put their cards in these sets because they add a lot of value to it. I mean, no one, even if you hated Nolan Ryan, would be upset at buying a box in the $100 range and pulling one of his autographs. You would not be upset about that. Next one, MD Cards came up with Derek Ward. He played for the New York Giants. He had a fairly decent season. I believe it was last year, the year before. I know they had some injury. Brandon Jacobs always seems like he was injured. So he had some spot time, and I was impressed. I was impressed with his abilities. He now plays for the Bucks, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And it might not be a horrible pickup. What's his name? John Gruden. I believe he's still the coach of the Tampa Bay, considering they traded like a first-round pick or something like that for him. I hope he's still the coach there. His rookies come out of 2004. You can have his they were auto rookies, auto serial-numbered rookies for less than 11, 12 bucks, somewhere in that range. So you can have – this is like our super deal. For like less than 10 bucks, you can get this guy's rookie auto, bam, in one shot. So I believe his Bowman's Best is one of his better ones, and I'm sure he has some other ones, but that comes out of 2004. You want to keep an eye on him. I know MD Cards is somewhat excited about him, and I am too. John Gruden's a guy that if you practice hard – and you perform in practice or perform a little bit in games, he's going to give you a chance. He's done it with his quarterbacks. He's done it with his wide receivers. He's done it every position across the board. If you play hard and you buy into what he's trying to do, he's going to hook you up. Last one, Cubs fan 129, Bryce Harper. I don't have a whole lot on him. This guy's in high school. This guy's like a junior in high school or something like that. The only reason why I bring him up is Cubs fan. If you go to our fan forum, go to TTM Autographs, this guy puts up all his autographs, and there's addresses, and there's pictures. So if you're a fan of TTM Autographs, or even if you're not, if you're just a fan of maybe getting certain players, this guy's got almost everyone you could possibly think of at this point. And Bryce Harper is one of them. Got him on a freaking baseball. So that's pretty cool. I think it was even had a little inscription on it. So you go to sportscardradio.com, find the fan forum, TTM Autographs, Cubs fan 129 successes, and scroll down and look at the wealth of this guy's collection already. But Bryce Harper's one of them. So if you're interested in getting him, this guy hit that like upper deck home run in like the old Tropicana Field or some. I saw the YouTube video. I might put it up on sportscardradio.com now that I think about it. This guy hits home runs. He's going to be a Scott Boris guy. This is kind of like already known. I mean, he's in high school, and it's like Scott Boris is probably calling him and texting him every other day. But it looks like he's going to go to junior college or get his GED and like go to junior college his senior year so he can like be eligible for the draft, because he wants to be eligible for the MLB draft before the new collective bargaining agreement, because the next collective bargaining agreement at baseball, I believe, comes up in like a year or two. And he wants to get in before that, because like football, baseball wants to try to maybe do it. The NBA did a brilliant thing, and this was years ago. This was before LeBron James, I forget what the first rookie year was, where they slate you, where like the number one pick can only make, I say only in quotations, but can only make like $4 or $5 million, somewhere in that range. It's not a tremendous amount of money. You know, it's not the Glenn Robinson $100 million contract anymore for these top picks. They're slated, and then you get 3 years, I believe, and then you got a fourth year, which is, I believe, a team option where your salary bumps up a little higher, maybe $5 to $6 million, and then you go unrestricted. So we're seeing those players that are going to be in their fifth or sixth year, LeBron, Carmelo, Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, they're all going to be free agents at once. So they're going to make every owner in the NBA broke, I guess. But they finally get their $80 million. And then there's a cap on how much you might. I think Kobe Kobe and these big time players, they've signed their max deal, which is, I think, in the 75 to 80 million. I don't know exactly how much it is, but there's a cap on how much you make. NBA did it right. You notice now players don't move from team to team anymore in the NBA. It was a big problem. People were upset about that. I remember in the mid, now I don't think it's a biggest deal. I don't think we care as much anymore like we did in the mid 90s about players switching teams and things like that. But the NBA has really made it hard for a player to switch teams, because the rule is basically you can always re-sign with your current team for more money if they're willing to give it to you. Obviously, we see cases like Lamar Odom. He got more money from Miami and I think another club, but he decided to take less money, and that's the advantage of being a Los Angeles Laker franchise. You can sign your players for less money because you're in one of the top five cities in America, if you can stand to live there, and also they're winning. So we don't see players bounce around in the NBA anymore. We see it a lot with football. We see it a lot with baseball. So those clubs are going to, not necessarily to put a stop on players moving around, but put a stop on those $100 million, $200 million, just ridiculous contracts that some of these rookies make. Like Steven Strasburg, I believe, is unsigned. He's asking for a tremendous amount of money. Anybody that's a Scott Boras agent sometimes doesn't even get drafted in the baseball because the team doesn't think they can sign him, or they don't want to pay some 19-year-old out of high school. Not that Steven Strasburg is that, but Bryce Harper will be an 18, 19-year-old kid. He'll probably be the number one pick, more than likely. And somebody's going to have to pay him a lot of money for some YouTube home runs. So we'll see what happens there. Don't have much more information on him, but head on over to sportscardradio.com, fan forum, TTM autographs. You'll be able to see Bryce Harper's signature, and if his address is not up there, you can PM CubsFan129, and he'll probably shoot that over to you more than likely. That's about it, guys. That's about wraps it up. We're at the almost hour mark for this show. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. We will be coming back very shortly with some more shows. Don't forget our box break contest. Yes, I have not forgotten about this. I'm still waiting. We're still working on it. I got two things in the work. And, you know, as most things, when you're asking for something for free, sometimes you've got to ask more than once, or sometimes you've got to, you know, work some things out. So I'm working that out. If it doesn't work out, I'm going to finally put a cap on this thing. I'm going to run it to the end of this month. And if it doesn't work out, I'm just going to buy a box on my own. I don't really care. I'm just going to buy. I'm unemployed. The stock market is doing fairly well, but it's not like I have thousands and thousands of dollars in there. But I'll be able to afford something nice where we can get a couple hits and get some cards out to you. Another thing is I do have a camera that shoots video, but I think I've dropped it or I've done something to it. Whenever you switch to camera mode, it has the tendency to flip back to like picture mode, and so the video stops, and nothing would horrify me more than to do a box break where I'm trying to give away all the cards. I'm trying to give them all away. I don't want any of these cards. I don't care if I pull a 101 Walter Payton autograph. I'm sending it to the person that had the Bears. I really could care less. But nothing would horrify me more than to pull that card and not have video of it. And not be able to show the person that pulled that card. Not be able to show everybody what was pulled out of there. So I'm kind of working on that. I know I have some family members with some nice video equipment, so more than likely I'll be hitting them up and borrowing that, and there'll probably be a small learning curve there. But I have not forgotten about that. It's a very serious issue of mine. Something we're going to be taking care of. But hopefully we've got a sponsor and they'll get plugged. If they're listening, you guys are going to get plugged, and I'm going to show numerous love. There'll be mountains of love and shout outs and respect and links on the website if you happen to supplement our fans with something of that. So that's for them. But let's wrap it up. We'll have another show real soon, probably early next week. I'll actually probably, once I wrap this one up, I'll be working on the next one. So head on over to sportscardradio.com. It's our one-year anniversary of the podcast. Sign up for the fan forum if you haven't already. Cardinformant.com is a partner of ours, and they'll be helping us out
So you can check their website out and see everything. They're a growing site just like us. So you want to check them out and support them as well. So that about wraps it up. Hopefully everybody's doing well. Have a great weekend, great week, whatever it might be. Don't work too hard. I know I have numerous listeners. It's awesome. It's the emails I get from everybody. I know I've said this plenty of times, but the emails and the posts on the forum and everything, very flattering. When I started this podcast a year ago, for one, I had no idea if I was any good at it, or if I'd be any good at it, or, you know, if anybody would listen was probably my number one concern. How I would get people to listen, and, you know, would people be able to find the show and things like that. And through no advertising, no real self-promotion aside from the things I've done on the show, we got lots of listeners. It's unbelievable. We've had over 10,000 downloads or listens to the show, and since we only have 30 of them, that's a lot. That's over 300 a show. So that lets me know, even if only half of those people listen, that's 150 people that tune in and listen to the show, and it's growing. I know I get emails from new listeners and things like that all the time, and if I was more aggressive and more shameless, I could promote the show much more than I do. But I do it for fun, and that's what I always will do. I don't do this to make money or to get free cards or anything like that. I do it for fun, and I've been blessed to have lots of you email me, and I've had lots of you say you listen to me at work, which is a huge, huge compliment considering how much I hate work, considering I can't find a job, although I love work now. If I could find one, I'd flip burgers at McDonald's if they'd hire me. But it's an honor to have people listen to me at work to help them get through your day there. Kids listen to me on their way to school, hopefully not in class or at school per se. But I want to thank all of you. I think I do it a lot, but probably not as much as I should. I want to thank all of you, that, especially the people that have gotten on the fan forum and posted, the people that have emailed me at sportscardshow@gmail.com. Thank you very much. I know occasionally it takes me a week or two or sometimes even longer to get back to you, but trust me, I read them and I'm very, very flattered and honored that you took time out of your day to send me something. So I really, really appreciate it. And here's to another year of shows, and hopefully these computers hold up. I know I've had a few hiatuses mainly due to these computers shutting down, so hopefully it all works out going forward. So I will talk to you later. Good luck with your collections. Until the next one, we're out of here.